All right, welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. We started a new sermon series this last week with our associate pastor, Pastor Paul Jordan, and it is on the Song of Solomon. So we are just like anxiously awaiting the content of this sermon series that's going to be lasting throughout the month of July. And so I have Pastor Paul in here with me this morning, and we're going to kind of talk through kind of the inception and where the sermon series began, and then also kind of review just a little bit in what we talked about this last week, and then also gave you kind of a heads up about where we're going in the future. So, Pastor Paul, we started in the book of Song of Solomon, right?
Yes, Song of Songs.
Song of Songs. So I wanted to ask you a question, kind of where did this begin? Because I remember even in our staff meeting a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, you threw out the idea, like, I might do something in the Song of Solomon. And we're like, oh, whoa, you know, like, where did that come from? You know, because I think even John Calvin preached through every book of the Bible except for the Song of Solomon. And to me, I want to give you like a lot of props, and I want to, you know, commend you for taking this book on, because if I thought about trying to preach the Song of Solomon, I would feel so intimidated by where to go and stuff. So what kind of birthed this in your heart to talk to our congregation about this?
Probably. I've been a senior pastor for a number of years at both in Arizona and then here, do a number of weddings. And so I guess that's the thing, is that realizing that marriage right now is under attack.
Yeah.
No question, society-wise, decisions that have been made. And there is, God is the one who instituted marriage. And so often we settle for less than what God's ideal.
Yeah.
And so I thought, hey, let's go to God's Word. I've used the Song of Solomon, I think I mentioned at the beginning, for my two daughters' weddings. And yeah. I just thought it was really beautiful. And I just thought, hey, this would be something that would be special for our congregation. It is sort of, it's hard because people try to approach it as a, as more of a analogy or allegory. And they try to say that Christ is the groom and the church is the, and you miss out with all the descriptions, because that's the part that makes us feel uneasy, is a lot of the physical descriptions.
Right, and I think actually if you look at like traditional Christianity, like that, the majority of people would believe and want to believe that it's an allegory, I think probably because they're uncomfortable with the real subject matter. We don't believe that. We believe this is a blueprint for romantic love in a monogamous, you know, heterosexual, you know, male-female marriage relationship. And so you kind of gave those precursors at the beginning of your message. And so, but yeah, so I think sometimes we feel uncomfortable with the subject matter. And so we try to like come up with any type of interpretive way of interpreting it a different way, but it's not an allegory. We think this is about literal, real love between men and women that God created.
Sure. And that's something that, you know, then the question becomes, okay, who wrote it? And that causes a lot of controversy over the centuries, too. Typically, it's accepted with that it's Solomon. That's what I personally believe. But, you know, the guy had 700 wives, 300 concubines.
Right.
And how can he talk about being solely committed to your spouse? The way that I take it, and I, you know, have other scholars who go along with it, is that it's Solomon's first wife. There's so many references to Solomon's name, 6 times at least, and then also to his being a king at least 5 or 6 times. So, the key is, I think what really caught my attention is that whenever I do a wedding, I'm always captivated by the love that a young couple has. Mm. And I think that in all of our hearts, that's what we want to, we want that in our marriage, because so often we get caught up in the mundane and we lose out. And I think what God wants us to do is truly appreciate the adoration for one another, the encouragement that we can have, and that, you know, there's something that his ideal is far more than what we oftentimes settle with.
Yeah, and we see that God, obviously, in the book of Genesis, he created male and female in his image, and he gave them to one another to be fruitful and to multiply and to rule over his creation. He gave them, the Hebrew word there is for helper, you know, to complete that relationship. And like you said, I think the Song of Solomon is almost painting this idyllic marriage where there's sexual fulfillment in that relationship. And I think what I'd say, and I'd ask you too, from like a pastor's heart, you've been in pastoral ministry for a number of years, what would you say to the people that are in the pew, that are in that marriage relationship, that don't feel like they're experiencing Song of Solomon type of romantic love with their spouse? Or what hope is there for people that maybe this is their second marriage, or maybe this is their third marriage, and they feel like they potentially have messed up that that good gift that God has given to them. What would you say from a pastor's perspective to them? What's their hope?
Well, I would say that we always have the hope that Christ is at work in us, and He can make us new creations. There is the idea of a lot of times bitterness and things that have been done to us, hurt we've experienced, especially those that have gone through a divorce, and that what we see is that Christ gives us that hope that we can, that there's still better ahead, and that there is forgiveness, and that He can work through us and bring us to a better place.
Right, and that's the message of the gospel, right? To repent and believe that God can do new creation type stuff in our lives, and so there is hope for those of us that are sitting in the pew that feel like, hey, this doesn't really describe my situation with my spouse. And I think there's also, as you read the Song of Solomon, there's all these cultural and like thousands of years of like interpretation that you have to work through. You know, like I wrote this down, like teeth like flocks of ewe lambs and hair like goats and bellies like goblets of whatever. You know, it's all this crazy stuff, but this is a genre that we're talking about. Right. This is poetry, you know.
Yes.
So we're not reading this literally. There's intentionality. What was the author's intent with those things? So that has to be unpacked too as we talk through these things.
Like you mentioned, so much metaphor, so much example. It is a different genre that we're used to. We don't talk this way, but yet it gives us, those that are into literature, have a great appreciation for what beautiful, and especially in the Hebrew, just it's masterful what it is. But it does deal with human life, which the Word of God does so often, and it just says, hey, this is what life is like. This is what marriage can be like. They do move from engagement to the excitement of marriage, the wedding night in particular, and then what marriage is like afterwards. And so you see this progression through the Song of Solomon.
Very good. And that's where we're heading this next week. We're going to be talking about that second segment of the Song of Solomon this next week. We hope you come out. Is there anything else you wanted to say to our people?
Well, I just encourage you to come and read it. And it is something that is, just a valuable part of God's Word that oftentimes is overlooked.
Very good. We'll see you this Sunday.